Paul Auder speaking for Medscape Infectious Diseases and from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. The topic today, infectious mononucleosis. Since the virus was discovered in the late 1960s, Epstein-Barr virus infection has been known to cause a syndrome of infectious mononucleosis or primary infection, which typically strikes adolescents and young adults with a severe sore throat, fever, and perhaps abdominal pain, spleen enlargement, or enlargement of lymph node glands. This is usually a self-limiting infection that lasts a few weeks, but some students are laid flat out with rather prolonged fatigue and recovery. There's an interesting study published by Balfour recently in the Journal of Infectious Diseases that I thought might be of some interest to you. Some of the early studies in infectious mononucleosis studied university health services or college students, and really little new prospective information has been explored in the past few years. And the question has always been, well, has the epidemiology or the incidence of infectious mononucleosis changed? I'm not sure this article addresses this, but I thought it was interesting to compare one of the first studies looking at the incidence of infectious mononucleosis that was done in the late 1960s, right after the discovery of the virus, in West Point cadets. Now, as you imagine, this is generally an all-male class, but it was found that 36.5% of entering cadets did not appear to have infection with Epstein-Barr virus, and that 200 of 437 cadets who were not infected became infected, but only 26.4%, so just about a quarter, seemed to experience infectious mononucleosis. One of the other more recent aspects that have been explored is that Epstein-Barr virus has been shown to be in genital secretions. Now, infectious mononucleosis has always been thought to be acquired through oral secretions in saliva, and Crawford and others have had some studies from the UK that seem to suggest that perhaps genital secretions played a larger role than suspected. Now, Balfour looked at prospective classes entering the University of Minnesota over 2 years and followed prospectively what amounted to 143 patients who were all Epstein-Barr virus negative. Now, 66 of those did acquire Epstein-Barr virus. And what's interesting to note is that 77% of those developed a typical mononucleosis syndrome, and only 12% had atypical findings, but the overall yield appeared to be that 89% of people developed a clinical infection, which is certainly higher than customarily quoted as perhaps a 50% attack rate. Other findings of this study by Balfour and colleagues were that the severity of illness seemed to be highest with the very high Epstein-Barr virus load and also the high levels of CD8 cells, which form the atypical lymphocytes that are characteristic of this disease. Freshmen, perhaps no surprise, seem to have the highest attack ratio, and each subsequent class had a lower amount. And generally, large amounts of virus were found in oral secretions, and that shedding lasted for 175 days, although it should be noted that intermittent shedding can occur lifelong. So, what are some of the take-home points, I think? Is that certainly Epstein-Barr virus infection remains a disease of adolescents and college students. The attack rate, if acquired in your late teens or early 20s, seems to be much higher than suspected, and that the oral shedding certainly can go on for much longer. And some of these, of course, are no doubt a reflection of our abilities to diagnose and perhaps easier entry into university health services and so on, whereas perhaps West Point cadets in the late 1960s were frowned upon from reporting illness. That's all possible. And the other aspect, I think, is that the severity of illness seems to correlate with immune response. And it's a vigorous immune response rather than the virus itself, which causes illness. And we know that because very young children, for example, rarely are clinically symptomatic. So some interesting points about infectious mononucleosis from a new study. It's not clear if there are trends in behaviors or other epidemiological factors that are perhaps changing some aspects. But what seems clear also from the Balfour study is they tried to examine if sexual intercourse was related with higher attack rates and so on, and did not find this. So I think one of the conclusions is that indeed infectious mononucleosis remains Kissing's disease, which is one of the more popular name that it is known as. So thanks so much for listening, and please look at some of the other Medscape topics for items of interest to your clinical practice. Thanks.